This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Our friends over at AMI TV have a great app, and all you have to do is go to the App Store and download it. It's the AMI app, where you can find all sorts of incredible programming put together, and it goes back quite a ways, and I'll tell you what, it's 100% accessible. That's the AMI app, available at the App Store for Apple and Android. That is our newest. We started out on Apple. Now, for those who kind of, it's only available by Apple. No. Now you can find it if you're an Android user and explore. And Rum, have you had any people say anything? Anyone playing around on it and finding it as wonderfully accessible as it is?
Yes, I actually have a handful of friends who stuck to their Android phones, unlike me, and we're really, really excited about the AMI app coming out. So far, great feedback on the accessibility, the navigation, and just having all the content available on demand.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. On the fourth Wednesday of the month, we're joined by Alicia Yardley from AMI's Human Resources Development Department to talk about employment. Alicia, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is a beautiful sunny day, and I am sat at my kitchen table, so couldn't be better. How are you guys doing?
We're good, and that's good. Something Rummy and I should work on for snacks, right, Rum? Kitchen table?
Kitchen table, yeah.
Just
thinking we should
hand.
Have another space just in case.
Yeah, well, at least have the fridge at hand, but then, of course, Matt or Akil would be saying, "What's that crazy buzz? Get out of there."
Mm-hmm.
Sneaking a snack. That's what it is. We're going to talk a little employment about applying to jobs and some of the things we need to think about. We know a lot of people out there in our listening audience, a lot of us are looking for some work of some kind, Alicia, and it's so important. It's wonderful to have you on to kind of give some tips, some advisement. Should I apply to a role even if I don't really feel qualified? If I start second guessing myself, saying, geez, I look at the description here, what should I do? Should I just kind of bypass, look for something, or should I go for it?
That's a really good question. I'll just kind of preface this segment by saying, there are so many resources that you can find on the internet on, job tips. So this is, I've done a lot of research in preparation for the segment, but, obviously I am one person, and these are sort of my own tips and tips that I've researched. But, if you feel like you want to get a bit more info, I highly recommend doing that as well. I don't think it ever hurts. I think if you're looking at a job description and you're feeling like, I could do like 5 out of the 10 things, it really doesn't hurt to apply, just because sometimes hiring managers, they're looking for that right cultural fit. They're looking for that personality, and they feel like they could train you on some of the other pieces. So if you feel like you meet, some of the minimum criteria, I would say go for it. You just never know. I mean, if you don't have a lot of experience and you're going for maybe a VP role, I might caution you against that. But, if it's something that's sort of within your wheelhouse in general, why not?
Wow. I always think, because I've heard people say, you might be the best candidate, but some of that best candidate, whether you have all the skills or not, might be the check boxes that you don't see in the posting for it, that, like you say, that they look for in a person's ability. Hey, this person would get along great with the team.
Absolutely. And even as an HR professional, I can say that I've interviewed candidates that I knew maybe weren't right for a specific role, but there was just something about them that I really, like, I could see the passion. I could see that they had researched the company and they wanted to work for us. And I always remember that. And that has sometimes resulted in those people eventually getting jobs with us, maybe in a different capacity, but a hiring manager or an HR professional, they absolutely take into account if you've got a great attitude and you feel like you are a good cultural fit for the organization.
Yeah. And we know that there's just so much changing, Alicia, with, I don't know, workplace culture, with the thing, what people are looking for, what employers are looking for, employees. So the next question I have has to do with resumes. And it's because I really do believe that a lot of us are either changing pace or starting to just look at things very differently. And that may mean you're applying for different jobs or side gigs or whatever it is. So going to resumes, which comes with like basically the first part of applying for a job. What kinds of resumes are out there?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So it tends to fall under three different camps. So there are what we call a functional resume. So that looks at your general skills, your education, the skills that you might have picked up from previous jobs, talking about, like, for example, administrative skills, customer service skills, and really talking about how you demonstrate those. Those kinds of resumes are great for people with gaps in their careers or people who are maybe new to the job market. They might not have a ton of experience. Chronological resumes are the next kind. That's when you list your education and your work experience in chronological reverse order, with the newest work experience first and then kind of going down. That's usually a good resume if you've got some experience in the industry that you're looking for, or, you know, if you've got a few years under your belt, I would highly recommend the chronological. And then there are the ones that are kind of a good combination thereof. So it's a chronological resume, but, you know, it also focuses on the skills and education, what you've learned in each job as well. You just have to be careful with that kind that it's not too lengthy, because I think, you know, with functional and chronological, there is the real risk of going over. And then you can do a targeted resume, which is, you know, an entirely different resume for each job. That can be either functional or chronological as well. But those, you know, those are the big sort of four kinds. But again, you know, and it's up to you to determine the right resume for you. And in looking at your job experience, you know, which one you think would speak to the hiring manager most.
You know, one of the funny things about resumes, and I remember at different points in my life as I looked for work, people would say, well, the one pager is the best. Oh, no, you want to tell them? No, include your contacts, the people that are giving you your references, do all that. It really changes. First of all, let's start with, how long, in your opinion, should that resume be?
I would say 2 to 3 pages max. I mean, the shorter the better, probably, but you also want to be able to give sufficient detail. You know, if your resume is a page and it's saying everything you need it to say, that's totally cool. If it's 2 pages or 3 pages, and it you know, you're making unique points in the resume, I wouldn't worry. I think after 3 pages, you know, I as an HR professional, I spend about 10 seconds on a resume. And so, yeah. You know, I'm going to be bored if we're, you know, going into 7 or 8 pages. So I think probably 3 pages max.
And that's, even that is on the long end of a resume, right? Like 3 pages, oh God, yeah, is not just me listing what I did in grade 7, 8, 9, 10, and then getting back to, you know, what I'm looking for now. It's totally on the longer end of a resume to have 3 pages.
Oh, it certainly is. Like, and that would be sort of a director VP level, probably, where you're bringing, you know, at least like 20 years of experience to the table. I recommend with a resume, you know, for pertinent job experience, if you've got a lot of experience in your industry, I would say probably go back about 7 or 8 years. Anything before that, maybe not as relevant.
And it's interesting too, Alicia, because people switch jobs so frequently now that you start thinking, oh, I've been in a lot of places. But sometimes that can work against, because of the nature. You don't know why necessarily someone left or why a job may have ended. You know, you almost don't want to put too much except what really connects to the qualifications.
Absolutely. I also think it's really important that you should, tailor your resume to the specific job, use keywords from the job description that right. shows like how specifically you're going to contribute. The other big thing I would say is quantify your accomplishments. So like if you, your data entry and you can type 75 words per minute, brag about that. Or if you can type 100 words, brag about that. Like use those quantitative statistics if you've got them, because then people can really see what specifically you have contributed to the organization and what you would contribute to the future organization.
Okay. And tailoring your resume to the specific job that you're doing, important?
Absolutely. I think that's incredibly important. Make sure that you are, using keywords from the job description. Like I said, make sure that if you do have in your resume objective anything about, the company that you want to work for, make sure it's the right company. One of the things that, I've done in the past is I actually created a resume checklist. So when I've applied to jobs, I kind of go, okay, did I include this in my resume? Did I include that in my resume? Did I, do a spelling and grammar check? And it sounds really simple, but it's so easy when you're nervous or you're excited about a job to just kind of send that resume over and you haven't really gone through all of the checking. And I think that's really important to make that first impression. So I would recommend doing that as well.
Awesome. Any other tips?
I would say use a standard font. Don't use gimmicks. Don't send us, a video audition or headshots if we haven't asked for them. Proofread and edit. We do have on Word, Microsoft Word, there are lots of templates available for functional and chronological resumes and cover letters. A lot of them are accessible, but just make sure that you check accessibility on any of the templates. And again, using that checklist, I think that's really important.
The proofreading and editing, Alicia, is just something that over the years I've realized there's never enough of it. Honestly, no. There could be something, especially visually, right? Like mm-hmm. I like to go over it visually, then with the screen reader, then someone else's vision, and then send it to another blind, low vision person and be like, please use your screen reader. Because I feel like there's things that especially with the human eye, you're glancing over and you'll miss it just because your brain thinks, okay, it's supposed to be spelt that way. So that's the way I remember it.
Absolutely. There are documents I'll go over like at least four times and then, I'll send them to somebody else and they go, you spelled there wrong or whatever. Like it's, mm-hmm. Cause you almost don't notice it anymore. So that, and I think too, demonstrate that you're a cultural fit, especially in the cover letter. Talk about like why that organization, what are you going to bring to the table? What was it about them that really stood out to you? Companies like to know, you might be one of, 300 people that are applying. What is it specifically about us that makes you excited?
That's what I like.
Especially if it's a multiple interview process or, multi-level interview process or things like that, you want to, the paper that you hand to them is the first impression that they have of you, right?
And
even before you're talking.
Part of why they would want you. What makes you separate from, especially when somebody's slipping through all these things and tired because they've looked at 20 others already and what's going to make you jump out. Alicia, just anything else on the cover letter before we let you go?
I would say customize it again to the company. Address your cover letter if you can to a specific person. So research maybe who that hiring manager is. If you look it up on Google, usually they will have information about that individual. Keep the cover letter brief, no longer than, 3/4 of a page, essentially.
Awesome.
And quantify your accomplishments.
Fantastic. Alicia, thank you. We'll talk to you next month. Appreciate the time and the great wisdom.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Alicia Yardley will be back on the fourth Wednesday. Next month, she'll be here to chat more employment. Coming up next, it's peach season in Ontario, and we'll be talking with Mary Mammolini about all things peaches. Stand by. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.